This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It begins, of course, in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recounts with قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَعْلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةِ. I'm going to create on this earth a vicegerent. So with that, I'll just open up the floor, inshallah ta'ala, for
sure. All right, jazakallah khair. So first of all, I got to give some shout-outs, all right?
Of course.
I met Brother MZ today at Farooq, Masjid Al-Farooq, who watches the show regularly, called it a show just now. And shout out to Sister Aliyah Riaz Khan, who watches every episode and from Canada and puts a comment every single time. And who else is there? Of course, my friend and my brother Bill Scott, who watches regularly. I know you're watching right now. Okay, so what are you going to do? Okay, and I'm hoping also that so we're going to discuss a lot of things. I hope we have, we'll give some time to some of the objections people have to the story of Adam, alayhi salam. And there's some accusations that there's no way Adam, alayhi salam, was that big. And then they mention what they call square cube theory, which says that the bones would be crushed under his weight. Also, the idea of if he was so big and his offspring were, you know, big also, why don't we find big skeletons? Every time they find an old skeleton, it's just a little ape-looking thing. So maybe we give time for that kind of thing. But
yeah, why not? Just
right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's at least mention. So, okay, I got something. I got something for Sheikh Waleed here. So the question is, was Adam designed or supposed to come down to earth? That was the plan, because the verses Sheikh Ammar just recited, Allah Azza wa Jalla told the angels, "Inni ja'inu fil ardi khalifa." I'm going to put a vicegerent on earth, right? Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also introduced Adam and Hawa, or told them about Iblis. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. Don't let him take you out of al-Jannah. How take you out of al-Jannah? And so that means when if you eat from the tree or make that mistake, you'll be kicked out of al-Jannah. So, and I know some scholars said both, يعني, but maybe we'll put it towards Sheikh Waleed. How do you reconcile between the two? That he was created for earth versus if you eat, you'll be sent to earth.
قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنه ونبيه أن الله لما خلق آدم أنزله إلى الأرض أولا ثم أدخله الجنة بعد ذلك. So ابن عباس رضي الله عنه said when Allah سبحانه وتعالى created Adam, he created Adam and he sent him to earth to see it and to witness it. So Adam is very familiar with earth. Then Allah سبحانه وتعالى after that he basically raised him and put him in Jannah. And that's where he lived, him and his Hawa, with his spouse. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from different corners of the earth. And when he created him from these different corners of the earth, it was like a sand from different parts of the world. Then mix it with water. And subhanAllah, it became like it has a smell, the clay. Then after that, it became like a clay, kalfakhar. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor him by letting him stay in Jannah and Hawa. But eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that he will go down to the earth. That's what I know of the story of how Adam was created.
Could that be the explanation of when Allah taught him the names, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ كُلَّهَا, right? Allah taught Adam the names, all the names. So some scholars said he taught him everything, meaning this tree is poisonous, this bears fruit, this is an animal, this is raw, this is cooked, this is fire. And so in so doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught or gave Adam the two things you need to have a good life, knowledge of your Lord and knowledge of your world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him all the names of things while he's in Jannah, or could this be an explanation that on earth he got to understand the earth and then he came back to Jannah? Has anyone ever said that?
I don't know. But what it seems from the Quran, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created him, he inherently put in him the knowledge of the names of things. Okay, that's what the original or the books of Tafsir says.
So what about this whole, was he really that size and the bones and all of that that you opened up with?
In Sahih
so why aren't there gigantic skeletons that we find?
So Sahih Muslim mentions that Adam, when he was created, he was 60 arms length. That's something like really huge, like taller than the Kaaba, like taller than a
gigantic
a building. Yeah, it's huge.
It's been dinosaurs like a pet.
Yeah, like dinosaurs just kick a T-Rex like that. So they said that, the first thing that they accused, they said that there's no way, because of something called square cube theory, where basically if you have a small cube that's 1 centimeter on each side, then the volume of that cube is 1 cubic centimeter. But if the size becomes 10 centimeters, so now the area, the size, the area versus the volume, the difference is, so now it's 10 times 10, it's 100 now. The volume is 100, so that the size went up by 10, but the volume went up by 100. And every time you get bigger, the volume will be much too big for the area. I mean, here we mean the bones. So they said if Adam alayhi salam was that big, his bones would buckle, would be crushed under his weight. And if you
see with regular people who are like 7'6" or what have you, like large, they suffer a lot because of their size.
Yes. And that's why, and if you Google it, every other website says it's impossible, he couldn't have been huge. And the Bible, of course, mentions that there were giants who walked the earth before. So they're saying that's nonsense, because these giants would not be able to, would collapse, basically. Every website says that. But the funny thing is, even the websites, like a long article refuting that a human can be that big, at the end, they will mention that, well, at the same time, you know, the Brontosaurus and these gigantic dinosaurs, their bones could sustain them. At the end, I found a lecture by an MIT professor. And the whole lecture, so over an hour, the whole lecture is on YouTube. And he actually brings the femur bone of a mouse and an elephant, puts it up on the desk like that, and like a horse and what have you. And bottom line short, he says, square cube theory doesn't apply to biology. It doesn't apply to living things. So people took something from physics and they said, I mean, basically they just try to disprove anything in religion. That's the point. So it is possible that you can be that big and still walk around and everything. So there's nothing impossible. That's the first one.
Okay. Were you able to find anything about the lack of skeletons or what have you?
Yeah. So we're saying, okay, there was an early generation, they were gigantic, they were huge. Why don't we find big skulls like this, petrified or fossilized, huge skulls, femurs, like, you know, from here to there? And they said, first of all, for something to turn into rock, which is what happens with fossils, the bone turns, it becomes petrified, it turns into rock. For these conditions to be met, these conditions are like really hard to come by and very rare for these conditions to exist. They said something really interesting, and these are the scientists here, not people just defending religion. They said, what's the population in the U.S. now, like 380 million or something? They said if everybody drops dead now in America, 380 million.
360.
Huh? 360? Okay. If 360 million people drop dead right now, and then thousands of years later, okay, or maybe even more than that, some people come to North America, and they start to dig through and look for fossils. From 360 million, they said, you know how many they would find if they found it? Yani, look at the size of the U.S. They said there would only be about 8 bodies left. From 360 million, only 8 would be left. And then they would be under the ground. You have to find them. What are the odds they're going to find anybody? You understand? So they were not 360 million from the early generations that were huge.
Nuh, alayhi salam. Nuh. The people who ride the ship with Nuh were 8 people. 8.
Sahih.
So can you imagine, like, earlier, what is the number of people? You're talking the whole entire Earth.
So
and with all the changes that happened to Earth.
So what are the odds, Yani? But Sheikh, also, wouldn't it be too much of a sign to find a skull, 1/4 of this room in size? It's just too much of a sign, Kida.
I do believe in that. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ told us, Allah told us about Adam. In the hadith, is the Prophet ﷺ told about Adam alayhi salam, that he created him that big. But there is no hadith saying that his children were in the same size also. I mean, this is an assumption, but there is no proof. The hadith says that after that, they became smaller, and they're getting smaller. So there is no how difference his sons from him, his grandsons from him, second generation. We don't know. Simple as that.
So we don't know if...
Assuming that the whole people or generation were that tall and big, that's an assumption. That's Islam cannot burden that responsibility for that because simply there is no proof for that. Okay.
All right. So obviously there's a lot of beautiful theological implications with regards to the story of Adam. Of them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam ala suratih, in his image. And so Sheikh Waleed, I wanted to ask you, you know, in Christianity you have this concept of God created man in his image, meaning in the image of God. Ala suratih, is the his here, is it speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is it speaking about Adam alayhi salam?
الإمام أحمد رحمه الله was asked, is it true خلق الله آدم على صورته يعني صورة آدم؟ قال وأي كلام من هذا؟ هذا كلام الجهمية. He said, الإمام أحمد رحمه الله was asked, what that means? Allah created Adam in His image. It means in Adam's image. He said, what nonsense is that? This is you must be non-Arabic speaker to say something like this. This is كلام الجهمية. This is the opinions of Al-Jahmiyyah, it's one of the most deviant sects ever happened and appeared in history of Islam. And by the consensus of the scholars, that they are not even Muslims. They're the most extreme version of Ahlul Ta'wil in our history. So this opinion or this idea came from there, as Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said. This hadith is saying that his referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is another narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created the face, or the image of the face of Adam, not the whole Adam, but his face in the same image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that means? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his face is the most beautiful thing, as well as human beings. Your face is the most beautiful thing in you. Also, your face has eyes, and where you hear, when you see, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has a face, he has eyes, he has hearing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that he has eyes like us in the middle and ear? No. But that's an image. It's not exactly the same. It's like I say, your face have the image or look like or in the same image of the moon. Beautiful, round, something like that. It doesn't mean that you are a moon. You know, we have the same exact feature of the moon. Or I say, you have an image. Anything exists has an image. Simple fact. Anything that exists has to have an image. Only thing that's in your mind has no image. Anything non-exist has no image. Anything like red, is that something exist by itself?
No, it's always
color
on
red.
Something.
Have you seen red walking the street? MashaAllah, assalamu alaikum, red. Or yellow. Or kida, mashallah, mercy walking on the street. Have you ever seen anything like that? No. That's not a... You can see mercy, colors, attributes only in your head as an entity by itself. Does not have an image. But... And many things like that. There is only non-existing things has in your head. But the moment it came out to be existed, it has to have an image. And this image not necessarily to be identical. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is truly physically exist, that's why he has image. And there is many hadith in Bukhari and others, فَيَأْتِيهُمُ اللَّهُ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ غَيْرَ الَّتِي يَعْرِفُونَ and many things. So the point is, we do believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam in this beautiful image of his, and that would not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the same features of humans, but there is a commonality. As we have eyes, we have face, we hear, we see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, sees, has eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has face, and it's so beautiful. And we stopped there. Those people who say, oh, he created Adam in his image and in Adam's image, what that makes no sense in Arabic, actually. Or even worse than that, somebody tried to get out of this hadith and he said, oh, he created Adam in his image, yani on the image of that man. They said there is a man was beaten, or there is a man, somebody curse him. Then the Prophet said, don't curse the face, don't hit the face, because Allah created Adam in his image. They said, yani on the image of this man.
That's really far.
This man
also. So, yeah. First of all, there is this is a fabricated story. That there is a man. There is no man or anything like that. Number two, in Arabic language, لا يقال خلق الله آدم على صورته. إنما يقال خلق الله هذا على صورة آدم. It's like I tell you, Ammar, you look like Hind.
Hind looks like me. Yeah.
That makes no sense in Arabic. I don't know if it's English makes sense or not. But in Arabic, that's like fine. That's it's like this doesn't know how to talk. You should say Hind looks like you.
Right.
It's not you look like him. So if that's what it is in the hadith referring to a person, you wouldn't even say that. So that's completely dismissed. And what's the point? The point is, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created you in the most beautiful way, the most beautiful fashion. And that's an honor. And that's, I think, that's something that we should, one of my lessons that في قصة آدم عليه السلام, that shows you that you have to have that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He created you in the best form, in the best way. I was saying to people not long time ago in one of my talk, I said to them, you know what? I love my skin color. I love how I look like. You know why? Because Allah chose it for me. He loves his skin color. Not because it's black, not because it is brown, not because it's white. No, it is because that's what Allah. يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He's the one who have given you that color, that image. And guess what? It's a beautiful one. And you should be proud of that. So I think one of the lessons that I want to tell everyone here, if you ever think bad about yourself, you feel low self-esteem, you know Allah created you in His image. That's in itself an inspiration lifting up. And that also make you respect all humanity. Have all that honor and respect for all humanity. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you in the best form ever. That shows you that He loves you. He cares for you. And that's a very important starting point when it comes to the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So even with regards to the creation of Adam, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated that when Allah, just as far as the relationship Sheikh Wadid is mentioning, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and blew into him his spirit, and the spirit was ascending the feet of Adam alayhi salam until he tried to get up, and then it reached his nose, and when it reached his nose, he sneezed. And so Adam alayhi salam, the first thing he said when he was created was Alhamdulillah. And the first thing, the symbolism is very beautiful. Adam alayhi salam, the first thing he said is Alhamdulillah. And the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him was Irhamukallah. And so the relationship that's established between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation is mercy from the beginning. That being said, we're still in the first verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa. I am going to make on this earth a khalifa. This word fil ard, in this land, on earth. We're trying to, and when I say we, I mean Elon Musk, trying to go into space and all of that type of stuff. Do you believe that we are going to, at any point in time, live on Mars or anywhere else in the universe? Whoever wants this one. Allah says, on earth, they're going to exist humanity.
وَمِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ right?
فِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ فيها وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى.
Yeah, so like I never ever believed that. I mean, but there isn't explicit evidence from the Quran or Sunnah that people will not live on Mars or anything, but I just never ever believed that. Allah mentions that we created you from it, and you will die in it, and you will be resurrected from it.
From Earth.
More explicit do you want?
Yeah, صحيح يعني. But what if someone said, no, but they could live on Mars, and fiha could refer to a dunya, مثلا. يعني
no,
the
that's,
the
no.
Huh?
That's just not how Arabic works.
No.
No.
They can try.
No, but what I think Sheikh Kamal trying to say, there is no contradiction that some individual might be in living in spaceships, living, we might have a hotel on the moon in the future, and people will stay there. But as humanity, no, we live in this earth, we're going to die in this earth, we're going to stay in this earth. We're not going anywhere. But doesn't mean that there will not be individuals happening outside. Oh, but that's not the qaida, that's not the default. Yeah. It's very clear that you will be in this earth. And then that's why, subhanAllah, human beings, part of their nature, they are very arrogant. Yeah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this earth and taking care of it. And we think, like, you know what? What you need to do is just make sure that you follow the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will take care of you. Don't worry about the future of the earth. Just take care about what you've been asked to do so you don't cause the harm to this earth and see how it will sustain you. Allah has been sustaining humanity all these years, and now you're saying, oh, you know, like that day saying, there is a star, it might come in 2000 or 3020, whatever. You know what, maybe we should create a rocket that push, or like make a bomb that push the earth a little bit so the thing will not hit the earth. Habibi, in the insala, what do you think yourself? God? Just take it easy. You know, just calm down. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just do whatever you've been ordered to do and live your life moderately and don't worry about the earth. قَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already, when He decided this earth, He created this earth, He made all measurement for people in this earth. Don't worry, you're not going to lose anything. When you're not going to add anything. But just follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you safe and will keep you sustained.
That's a great point. You know, like, you know, when people discuss with atheists, they look at the numbers, the odds of anywhere in the universe, all the ingredients being there to sustain life. And they're all here on Earth, and then people are arrogant enough to think of going to another planet that doesn't have the right temperature or atmosphere, even if it has water, and then say, you know, we could live there. But on another note, the type of people who would afford to live there will be the extremely rich, and actually support them leaving the Earth and going to going to live on Mars.
Speaking of atheists, you have the next verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala...
What's Khalifa mean?
Khalifa. So Khalifa is translated as vicegerent, which is one of those words that mean nothing to anybody. But Khalifa is that which is left behind. So you have one person who's replaced by another, one generation after the other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left behind or has placed on this earth those who will succeed one another. And don't say this is by someone who doesn't know any Arabic or what have you.
No, that's beautiful. Okay. So Khalifa doesn't mean leaders. Yeah. Or like the king or the president, like I'm making Adam a ruler on earth. No. Or I'm making Adam to replace me on earth.
Yeah.
No. It means that Adam will have generations comes after him, and generation after that, generation after that, they replace one another. What I learned from this, that we have to psychologically understand this fact, because theoretically we do, but sometimes psychologically we don't, if that makes any sense. And what I mean by that, I mean we act as if we are the only generation. When you put in your head that there is someone will replace me, that means a lot of things. For example, and maybe you can add some more point, for example, that means I have to make sure that this place is good and better for the generation to come. It's not only my generation. Also, it have to means that I am ready to pass the
torch
or the torch. Some people hold into it, like you see sometimes leaders. يعني خلاص, you've been leading this masjid or this community for the last 70, 60, 40, 30 years. خلاص, let the new generation comes. You know, I feel threatened when I see the second generation comes. I should not. I should see this as natural phenomena. That, you know what, my children, I need to give them that trust. I should look at them, then someone will carry after me. I should not hold into all this power on my hand, and I'm not willing to make them the one who will replace me.
Same thing with the youth and so forth. So the word Khalifa for me, it means a lot of meanings actually I learned from the story of Adam alayhi salam. And how I make sure that this earth and this community is much, much better for the one who will come after me. Because it's not doesn't end with me.
I think petroleum companies should understand what the word Khalifa means. It's like they behave like no one's coming after them.
Yeah. The word Khalifa, we also, we say that in Dua al-Safar. We say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أنت الصاحب في السفر والخليفة في المال والأهل. You say, oh Allah, you are my companion in this journey, and you are the one that I leave behind, Khalifa, you are the one who I leave behind over my family and my wealth. And so it's a beautiful reminder also that, as Sheikh Waleed is mentioning, as far as the next generation and raising the next generation, sometimes you worry over who's going to be taking care of your loved ones and who's going to be looking after your children. And you're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're the one who I leave behind. And so it's really important that you actually connect that next generation, not to you as the leader, because if you connect them to you, then it will disintegrate as soon as you pass away. You're temporary. But if you connect them to Allah, there's a brother once here at Click, one time, I've never seen him subhanAllah after, but he was at the masjid and he told me something so beautiful. He said, I tell my children, do you want to know when y'all will be Muslim? And he was like, my kids always say, what do you mean, Baba? We're already Muslim. Like, he goes, no. Y'all will be Muslim when you pray without me or your mom telling you to pray. That's when you'll be Muslim. And I thought that was so beautiful. He's not teaching them to, you know, when Baba comes home, everybody starts praying Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. He's teaching them that you need to pray independently of me or your mother, because they're not going to be there always with you. Yeah.
Very nice. Sheikhna, I always believe that this description of Adam or this new creation explained, just from that word, Khalifa, the angels understood immediately that this is a type of being not like us, because they, you know, they don't procreate and get married and so on. That they immediately understood this is a different type of being. And based on that, it could facilitate the next understanding of, because they said, why would you, they wanted to understand why he would put a being like that is going to wreak havoc and shed blood on earth. And I think a lot of that came from understanding what Khalifa means.
This also verse, this particular description I'm making in earth, led some ulama said that the paradise that Adam was in, was actually in earth. Yani al-Jannah that Adam was in it was not the one in heavens that we will enter, inshallah, after we die. No, it was an earth, a special Jannah on earth. And that's an opinion that has value. It has a very strong argument, too. It's not like a weak opinion or very weak opinion, even though I disagree with it. And they said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm making on earth. So that means Adam created an earth. So he will be in the earth, not in Jannah. Also, they said, Al-Jannah is Jannatul Khuld. And Adam did not last forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Jannah that they basically, لا يموت فيها الإنسان, you will not die. And Adam used to sleep in Jannah. They said, in Jannah, you don't commit a sin. And Adam committed a sin. In Jannah, it's basically the Darul Abrar, Al Athar, the pure. And Adam was not purified, was not pure as he should be when he committed the sin. Al Jannah is not a place where Iblis will come. And Iblis whispered to Adam and to Hawa. Al Jannah, so they said many things like this. So they said,
you never leave it.
You never get out of Jannah. And he never leave Jannah. And Adam left Jannah. So, but the answer for all this, all these descriptions related to Jannah in the hereafter. Yes, so it will not be a problem. We believe in all this. He talked about Al-Jannah after people entering it in the hereafter. That's why in Sahih Muslim, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that people, when the Day of Judgment, when Adam, they ask Adam, ask Allah to let us go so we enter Jannah. Which Jannah they talk about in the Day of Judgment?
Eternal Jannah.
The eternal Jannah, that's right. Then Adam said, I was taken out of it and sent down to earth. That's a very clear statement from the Prophet ﷺ. Shows you that Adam was there. Add to this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, ihbita, get down from it. So to say ihbita because they were living in a garden in a high mountains in India. I don't know why India. But in India, okay, and they were sent down, you know, down from that mountain to earth, which is some people said that. It doesn't really goes with the way the Quran describe it. But what can be understood, what Ibn Abbas said, that first thing when Adam was created was brought to earth to see it, to witness it, to know what is this, you know, and maybe that's where he was taught all the names and stuff. Then after that, he was brought up to the heavens where the angels were ordered to make sujood to him and so forth. So then lived in Jannah. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he knows that this is his destiny. He knows that the destiny of Adam is to come back to it. He will leave it, then will come back to it. And for me, this is so beautiful because, like Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, said, فَحَيَّ عَلَى جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ فَإِنَّهَا مَنَازُلُنَا الْأُولَى وَفِيهَا الْمُخَيَّمُ. He said, come to Jannah because that's your home. Yani, Sheikh Kamal, when you go to your father, do you consider that your home or not?
Absolutely.
Because my father's house is my house. Summer, when you came to your father's house, is that you feel home? That's my home. You know what? My father, Adam, was there. So I feel like going back home. That's in itself so soothing for me.
It's like an internal GPS that's placed in you for you to always want to come home.
That's why in the Bible says in Jannah, people know their way to Jannah and their places and their houses and their ranks and their spots in Jannah naturally. Like the way you know your home in dunya.
Salam.
I always tell people if they didn't, you'd spend eternity opening doors. Sorry, opening the next. Oh, sorry. How are you going to find it?
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي جَعْلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. The angels respond with a question, and they say, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُسْدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Are you going to, they immediately ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to make on this earth those who will shed blood and cause mischief? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ. And we're praising you and exalting you and sanctifying you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you do not know. So speaking of atheism, Sheikh Kamal, the angels are the first ones to pose this problem of evil. How and why is evil going to happen on earth? Why is bad things going to happen? Why is blood going to be shed? Why are people going to be killed? Why are horrible things going to happen? And why are you going to create that which will cause that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the problem of evil in the Quran saying, I know what you do not know. And so us as Muslims, as believers, the ultimate response, we can philosophize and all of that type of stuff as much as we want, but at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you do not know, and we accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we do not know.
You know, first thing is very important. A lot of times when people read this verse, or even speakers, when they read it in a tone that shows objection. So they're like, and here we are, you're going to put him on earth, and we've been worshiping you, and so the first thing is the angels were not asking to object, they were asking to get more information. And the other thing is, they understood that the only reason to exist is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So they're saying, we're already doing that, and we just want to understand why you're going to create a being that's going to shed blood and wreak havoc and so on and so forth. And they said, how would they know that? So some scholars said, they kind of mentioned like four opinions. One, they said that they figured that's what's going to happen because they saw the jinn experience on earth. The jinn were on earth first and they shed blood and they wreaked havoc and so on. So that's one. The other, they said that the angels, of course, they're smart. You know, Sheikh Wade has an Al-Maghrib class called Rays of Faith, and it's one of the beautiful parts. He explains that angels are not robots. They have brains. They just can't disobey Allah, but they have brains. And they make calculations and deductions. So they were able to, because of the substance Adam alayhi salam was created from,
He was created from the earth, so therefore, سَيَرْكَنْ إِلَيْهَا, he's going to incline to it. And when you incline to the dunya and materialism, what happens? Fights and bloodshed and so on and so forth. Then another group of scholars said it could have been that they saw it written in a Lawh al-Mahfuz, that, you know, they had access to it. It could have been that they saw it. And others said that Allah could have told them at on another point, at another time, that this is what will happen. So they're just trying to find out why. But the thing about evil, we used to give analogy in da'wah, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts us on this earth, He gives us His guidance, which is now His light, all right? And how does darkness happen? When there's no light, you get darkness. You can't get darkness by itself when there's light. Only when there's no light, you get darkness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His guidance, that's the light. And when people choose to not follow His guidance, then you get murder, then you get theft, then you get all kinds of things. So because we have free will, we have the choice to either follow the light or not follow it, the guidance. And when people don't, that's when there is evil. So it's not that, you know, Allah creates or makes the evil or makes you do the evil. People by choice decide to. Allahu alam.
So if we follow this page of Surah Al-Baqarah, we're probably gonna, you know, take all night.
Just about the evil, I just want everybody to know the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created or made happen on earth, it's either a pure evil or pure good. Or there is more evil than good or more good than evil. And the last possibility is?
50-50.
50-50. That's right. You can't think of any other possibility. So 100% evil, 100% good. More good than bad, or more bad than good, or equal. Nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made on this earth, decided on this earth. And that's, we're not gonna go into example, but I just want you to understand this is a rule that Ahl Sunnah says. There is nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created or decreed on earth or made on earth that it is 100% evil. Or there is more evil than good, or evil and good are equal. Nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made himself or created or ordained that there is more evil than good or even 50-50.
So Iblis isn't 50-50?
No.
Meaning inherently, صح? يعني إنه في أصله كده,
yeah,
that there's more evil than...
It is always more good than bad, or it is pure good. There is more good to happen from the creation of shaitan than the evil itself. Give you example. Your tawbah is way more beloved to Allah, way more higher level than the anger that caused by your sins, which is caused by the shaitan. But tawbah happened because of the sin, which is sin happened by the cause of the shaitan. So the outcome of that is way more outweighs the problem of the sin. So nothing. And al-ulama rahimahullah said, there is no disagreement between Ahl Sunnah on this fact, or on this issue. That nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made, He Himself. Because some people said, Shaykh, what about al-khamr? Ithmuhuma akthar min naf'ihima. Al-khamr, you make khamr. Allah didn't create the khamr by itself. It's your actions. Okay? But anything that Allah create or made or ordained, there is always more good than bad. Or I want you always to remember this. Just remember that. Anytime you go through a hardship, you go through trouble, something trouble you, I want you to remember that there is more good than evil. I was challenged once with a very hard
example.
A sister walked to me in Toronto, and she said, Sheikh, you can tell I'm a Somali sister. I was raped when I was a teenager in a refugee camp. I was beaten. I lost my family. Don't know if her father or something killed. I was this. And she listed things like no human being can, like, not many, any. It was so terrible. She said to me, tell me what's more good in this, in my life. And that's real.
Then it gets real. Then I said to her, first of all, don't ever understand when we say that we look to the every incident in itself. There is no good in raping a woman. There is no good in kicking somebody out of their homes. There is no good in killing an innocent person. In itself, that it's bad, and the action of that person. But look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed upon you. What do you do? She said, I finished my master's. What you work? She said, I work with UN. I said, what do you do? She said, I just joined the UN. And she said, I'm an activist. I said, activist in what? In protecting girls and raping cases and stuff like that. I said, what have led you to go to that direction? She said, my own experience. I said, I think if you never was kicked out of your home, and never even happened to you, what would be you today? She was in tears when I said that. She said, never thought about it. I'll be just another village girl who lives in somewhere in East Africa. Yes, when you look at this in itself, bad. But when you look at the big Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala work according to his timeline, not yours. And I said, sister, and you have not seen anything good yet from this terrible thing that happened to you. To know that the good outcome, the bad. She said, what do you mean? I said, wait until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes when we look at the good and the bad, we only look at the dunya. But Allah look at the dunya and the akhirah. That's why people in the akhirah would say, we'll be so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the death of their son, because of the sickness, because of this, Allah raised them so much in Jannah. And he will know that it was actually the best things ever happened to him in his life. And that comes from what? From attending Sheikh Ahmad's classes about who Allah is. And knowing the names of Allah.
Sorry.
To build that yaqeen in your heart. Sorry, took too much time, but it's an important point. About
beautiful point, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. So I don't want to just follow the sequence too much unless y'all want to, but if there are any particular passages. Okay.
Come Hawa. On. They said Hawa.
Yeah.
Okay. When she will be in Jannah, you know, but Jannah is so big. You know?
That's Eve, by the way, for anybody who's wondering. Yes.
Hawa, which is Eve. You know, Adam will be looking for, looking for her. Will be looking for her and stuff like that. And she will be looking for him and meet her. That's the love. Then angel asked him, do you love her? He said, yes. Okay. Then angel said to her, do you love him? She said, no. And she actually loves him, but she never expressed that. I mean, it's a story to be told, but they said when they came down to earth, Adam used to look for her in the morning and sleep in the night, while she looked for him in the morning and in the night. And when he met her, he said, I've been looking for you every day. And she said, and I didn't go anywhere. I was waiting for you here. Even though she was looking everywhere, but they said that's the nature of it. Allah knows, this is just nonsense talk, but people say stuff like that. But what I throw on you, what I say about Hawa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my best part of it is that Allah called her a spouse of Adam. To define the relationship between men and women. It's not his girlfriend, it's not his friend, it's his spouse. Amen. And that's just beautiful.
What about the creation, the reason why she was created, Sheikh Kamal? I feel like you would be the best person to talk about this.
Exactly.
He was in Jannah and...
The reason is powerful. You would think, throw me in Jannah, I don't care. I'll just eat grapes all the time. Chicken, fried chicken. I don't care if I'm alone. I'll just keep eating and relaxing in a Jannah, having milk, having wine, honey. No. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, we are social beings. And we know this. When someone is put in solitary confinement, they lose their mind. They don't even become them anymore. They become crazy. So the scholars mentioned, they said that Adam alayhi salam, even though he was in this magnificent place, he became lonely. So Allah caused him to go into the sleep, and he created his spouse from him. And that's why the scholars said that, because the man was created from earth, he inclines to the dunya and making money in the markets and materialism and talking about houses and stocks and all that. And the woman was, this was in the good old days, but the woman was created from her spouse, so she inclines to him. And we still see this, really. You see, the guy is doing this work, and she's just waiting for him. And then she wants to spend time and talk. And he doesn't want to, just wants to...
You know, they say men don't think about anything and don't worry about anything until they get married. And they start worrying about a lot of things. Women worry about everything until they get married. They don't worry anymore.
Mm. I mean, at least that's how it's supposed to be, right?
That's real men, take care of his wife. But... speaking of this, there is a different opinion. Some scholars said actually that Hawa was created from the same clay that Adam was created from. She was not created from his body. But for me, it is not that strong of opinion. The stronger opinion, she was created from Adam. And subhanAllah, Adam, when he have, she's part of him. When she was taken out of him, as if you can say, he became a pure man. And when she became by itself, she became a pure woman. She's something independent. She's something different. That's a female and that's a male. And she were created from dhul. Dhul is the thing that curve, but also that shows that she protects.
Yes, I know.
That she is lean towards. And also, Adam was not in by himself. Adam has the angels, had the wildan, had the servant, all these things in Jannah with Adam.
He had servants in the Jannah?
Everything in Jannah, you can imagine.
I never knew that.
Animals, whatever, you name it. Yet, he was so bored, which is shows you guys, no matter how much fun you have as a single, okay, girls and boys, there's nothing like have a spouse. Even if you're in Jannah. So can you think being in Houston?
Sahih. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allah commanded...
You need Nora to listen to
to prostrate. Commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam. فَسَجُّهُ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ So we have this introduction of this. The story of Adam is also the story of the original adawa, or the enmity between this stage is set between Adam and the children of Adam and Iblis and his progeny, those who would try to mislead. And so Iblis, when he enters into the, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Adam to not eat from a particular tree, Iblis then initiates his tactics. But something that's beautiful as far as the symbolism is that out of all of the trees of Jannah, there's only one tree. It's a single tree. That's it. That's the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And if a person reflects on the percentage of the halal and the haram in this world, you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything halal, except for few things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made prohibited for us in this world as well. It's that symbolism that's incredibly powerful. And for us, when we feel overwhelmed that the haram is prohibited for us, we should remember that the halal is so much more.
There is a rich man once in Saudi Arabia. We had a dinner. He's very rich. I'm not going to mention his name. He's famous too. So he told us, "Yeah, he to be al mutar." I said, "You religious people, shiuch, make things hard." I said, "How?" He said, "Everything haram, 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 haram. Every I ask about haram, haram, haram. You know, no fun, nothing. Everything haram. Ya akhi, shwe, shwe, take it easy on us." So one of my friends, he said, so and so, he said, "The problem is not us." He said, "So what's the problem?" He said, "You, everything you want, haram." It's not like, yep. It's not me, it's you. Everything you're asking about is the haram thing. You know, it just some people that only think of the haram. You want to have fun, only think of haram. You know, like, earlier I had a conversation with someone, listening to these weird musics for the gym. Why? Because this is what, but this is the only thing make me
focused or energy
to exercise. Who said that? The only fun is when me, boys and girls together. Who said that? It just became embedded. You just leave all the halal, all other ways, and shaitan make you just focus on one thing. You think this is the only thing. So it's a very good point.
Actually, based on the story of Adam, this what they call the forbidden fruit theory, right? But in psychology, it's called reactance theory, where if you tell someone, don't do something, that's all they want to do. And there was a really interesting experiment where they freshly painted two walls in the bathroom. And you know, high school bathrooms, it's like a graffiti disaster. So they freshly painted both walls, and they wrote on one, do not write on this wall. And they left the other blank. Guess where everybody wrote?
On that wall.
Just the one that says do not write. Everybody went and wrote there. Even if they didn't want to write, the minute they read that sign, they took a pen out, oh, let me show you. So,
if a parent is smart, they should tell their kids, the one person in this world you're not going to marry is your cousin.
So then they will marry their cousin, right? Okay. I guess. But
do you believe in that theory?
What?
Marrying cousins?
No.
I do.
I don't.
Lish.
I am very irritated by the
There's
theory.
There's a lot of evidence to support it.
Yeah, I think that theory is actually, I would love to see facts about it, but I think that this theory, nothing but to promote what's haram.
I was gonna say this theory really shows you what a high level it is to be submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal, to be obedient, to be a true slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when He tells you no, you don't fight, you don't resist or go the other direction or make an excuse. No means no. But you don't see it everywhere.
I was told all my life, don't eat from the garbage.
Who desires?
I never want to eat garbage.
Who desires that, Ya Sheikh?
Here's the point. The point is not no. The point is the desire. Okay. It's not about no. It's about I have a desire for it. So because of my desire, I did that. But I don't think the theory is consistent. Just by saying no, it means I will try to make the opposite. I found, and I can give you many examples.
Isn't there a hadith like that where the Prophet ﷺ says, do not tell your children don't do something?
I don't know. Astaghfirullah.
SubhanAllah, Sheikh, I've been looking for this hadith for like 19 years. And every word I put,
it just tells you something.
But I heard
it. Look for this hadith.
I heard it from someone reliable, Sheikh.
Okay, someone or something. Go ahead.
Yes.
What did they do?
They didn't eat it.
Yeah. I just don't think it is a consistent. I think there is other elements for them to write on the wall. It's because, you know, people, you know, just being, you know.
Why not the other wall then?
Yeah. I don't know why about the other, but I guarantee you they will write on the other wall.
They're high school kids. They're going to write everywhere.
Yeah,
and crazy.
I don't know how accurate this is and how truth. Yani, if you wait a little bit more, you will find out because they're right in the wall without anything in any way. So, I think at least let's agree on that should not be taking a justification. You know, why I'm saying this? Because, Sheikh, we have people saying, don't tell your kids haram to steal. Haram to lie. Don't tell them, Yahi, Al-Quran says don't have zina. Al-Quran said don't lie. Don't do this, don't do that. Al-Quran has do's and don'ts. So if we say this method of saying no or don't encourage them to do the opposite, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us in a way which is not the best way. Which is, I refuse to take that. At least not to be consistent this way. I just have a big problem with this issue. Yes, Layla.
Do not
Yes, but my point is, you always can explain to people why. That's fine. But still, you can say, you know what? There is a rule. You know what? Don't go to this place. Don't touch this. You know, sometimes you have the time for it. Sometimes the trust comes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he teach us that not necessarily, yani, when he said to Adam, don't eat from the tree, he didn't tell him why.
Shaytan came and told them why. And that's a great point. Shaytan mm-hmm. came and he said, your Lord did not prevent you from this tree, except that you become malakain o min al khalidin, that you be angels or that you be of those who live eternally. And so that becomes one of the challenges or one of the dangers actually of trying to reason the prohibition or the command. Because if you come up with a false reason, it may cause you to actually then do something that's forbidden. So for example, Shaytan comes to Adam and he says, the reason that you're not allowed to eat from this tree is because of you becoming an angel or you living eternally. And Adam is like, well, these are great reasons. That's not a... And so he eats from it. A person might look at an obligation and say that we are commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for purification of the soul, and my heart is already really pure, so I don't really need to do this. A person might look at fasting and say, well, the reason why we fast is, you've probably heard this a lot, is to know how the poor feel. That's the reason why we fast. Well, I'm already poor. I know how I feel.
Exactly.
So I don't need to fast, right? So he came up with the justification that's not actually the correct justification. Or I remember... Or shortening the prayer of the traveler or because of difficulty, right? And so I'm not feeling difficulty. I remember, for example, with regards to interest or with regards to the prohibitions. So for example, a person says, well, the reason why alcohol is forbidden is if you get intoxicated. And I remember in college a kid telling me this. He says, and so I can drink one beer because I can hold it. I won't get drunk, right? And so he came up with the reasoning why, and he figured that he was exempt from the rule. Or I can be alone with a girl, no problem, because I don't fear fitna for myself, so I'm fine. So the danger becomes, instead of just submitting to the prohibition, whether you know the cause or whether you don't know the cause, trying to come up with the cause and then apply that cause on the prohibition or the commandment. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay.
What kind of tree was it?
The Quran does not mention what kind of tree. The Hadith does not mention what kind of tree. And interestingly, the Bible itself does not mention what kind of tree it was.
Doesn't say apple?
So the apple thing was, I forget which of the earlier biblical languages. It was a language in which the word for apple and the word for tree is the same word, but it's just a different like stretch of the vowel. And so many believe that that's where this mistake came from, that it was tree, and in that language some other translators saw it as apple. And that's how it became the apple and Adam's apple and Apple computers and Apple phones. That's why they have the
bite. You
know,
I never connected Adam's apple until you just said that right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It got stuck.
That's
and
amazing.
Apple computers have the apple taken out of it. And the kids would give their teacher an apple because she gives them knowledge and that's the fruit of knowledge. All that is based on nothing.
Yeah, actually, this is very evil to say that this is the tree of knowledge. This is completely the opposite of what Islam says. Islam says that Allah gave him all the knowledge. And then you claim that Allah told him, don't eat so you stay ignorant. That's why he doesn't want to eat from the tree. By the way, in our tradition, there is a mention of the tree. What kind of tree? So Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, many of the Sahaba said it was grape. It was the grape tree. So it was a grape, min al-karm. And many of the tabi'in as well. Some said date, some said, like, there is many other, but the most famous one among the early generation was actually a date, a grape tree. I have something about so he said you will be an angel. But Adam saw angels making sujood to him. What would he, yani when you want to deceive someone, you bring something higher, not lower. And what kind of car you drive?
A Genesis.
What is that? Is it Honda?
It's a Hyundai.
Hyundai?
Yes.
The Prophet, there's nothing less than that. No, sorry. So if I tell you, you know what? If you do this, you would be driving a Mercedes. But if I come to him and he said,
I'll stick
if
with the
you,
Honda.
You know, if you do this, we're going to offer you, what's lower than Honda?
Ford.
Go ahead. What do you have? A Porsche, guy.
No, lower. Like your Genesis, this is the top of the line. Okay? So I tell you, you know what? You got, for example, sorry, Leila. Santa Fe. Okay, let's.
Hyundai is one of the top three most reliable cars in America for over 10 years. I would never take a Mercedes over it.
That's it. Not reliable. I'm going to give you, what year is yours?
Nam?
What's yours?
20.
I'm sorry. I'm innocent. Wallah, I don't mean anything bad. Okay, we're going to give you, you know, a Toyota Corolla in 1994. Is that something you will trade for?
Abadan.
Never.
Yeah.
Because it's slower. So he saw the angels making sujood to him. How Iblis come and tell him, you will be like angels. He could have said to Iblis, you know what? They just made sujood to me that day. Why would I want to be one of them?
Taib, I feel like you're going to give me a better explanation than the one I have. I had an explanation I heard from the scholars that satisfied me a lot, okay? And they said, this shows you how incredibly, incredibly crafty Iblis is. That he used Adam alayhi salam's love for Allah to make him disobey Allah. This is the explanation. They said that Adam alayhi salam, he saw the angels, even though they prostrated to him, but he saw their level of worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. They worship nonstop, tirelessly. They don't sleep, they don't rest, and they're always worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal. And he wished, because he tired and he slept, to be able to worship at their level. So when Iblis told him, this is a tree of al-khuld, everlasting life, and Adam doesn't just want to live long. In his world, who lives long?
The angels.
Angels. So he understood that I'll be like them and I'll be able to worship like them. And he used his love, incredible love for Allah Azza wa Jal, to get him to disobey Allah.
You know, you just reminded me, when you go to like Hajj, like between the group leaders and the like shuyukh and everybody, sometimes you'll come across people there are people who go to Hajj every year. So people will be like, I've gone to Hajj 10 times, I've gone to Hajj 18 times, I've gone to Hajj 20 times. And then they ask you like, how many years have you gone to Hajj? And you're like, once, twice, right? You kind of almost feel shy. And so you can imagine Adam being created yesterday and he's in Jannah and the angels have been worshiping Allah for thousands of years or what have you. And even Iblis has been around for so long. He might have belittled or felt like, I want to be someone who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an extended period of time like
that
as
well.
What
do you think, Sheikh? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. In another word, he said, if you want to please Allah and to be like the angels and worshiping Allah, eat from this tree so you will become like them. And that's what we call bid'ah, innovation religion. Is to worship Allah in a way other than what Allah ordained for you. Allah did not create you, Adam, to worship him like the angels. Allah doesn't want you to worship him like the angels. You have your own way and they have their own way. But when you choose for yourself other than what Allah chose for you, that's where you put in religion something that's not from it. And it is something so early as shaitan learned how to trick human beings. You come them from the area where they love the most. Mm. And that's why Shaitan told his followers, I know something that human beings will never repent from it. They will keep doing this sin for the rest of their life. They said, what? He said, innovations in religion. Any who want to repent from celebrating Mawlid, which is coming soon. Yahi, love the Prophet. Sing for the Prophet. Make adhkar. Ah, beautiful. Who would think to repent from praying two rak'ahs? Who would think that this is sin? Who would think that making dua or dhikr can be a sin or something wrong? What's wrong with that? That's beautiful. But it's not. مَا تَزِيدُكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا. It meant to take you farther away. So shaitan knows that from early time. And that's something Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned actually as one of the fawaid of this story.
We have to talk about فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ.
But before we get to the Tawbah, I got two questions. Okay, we established Adam alayhi salam was very smart. And people need to understand that. People think he was just this innocent طيب على النيات, just eating grapes. So he was very smart. Okay. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned earlier,
and beautiful.
Yeah, no doubt. Huh? Naam, dark.
Speak
yes,
that into the microphone, Sheikh. You can't just say that.
So we have it on record.
We need it on record.
He's beautiful, he's this, and he's dark.
Okay. Yes. His name was...
He was not black.
No, he was tanned.
Just people say he was a black man.
No.
He was not black.
They said Adam, كانت له أدمى, يعني he was tanned. المهم. So he was introduced to Iblis. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. That's Iblis, he's an enemy to you and to your spouse. Don't let him take you out of Al-Jannah and you will suffer, Adam. Okay. How he's smart and he's introduced. Like I told you, there's a scammer in Houston. And this is his picture. And then next week you tell me, wallahi, he took $10,000 from me. I would be so upset, but I showed you his picture. How can someone so smart be introduced to the guy, he might trick you, and then he still tricks him?
Is this a rhetorical question or is this?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a real question. I mean, there's an answer. I'm just throwing it out for fun, yeah, to make it exciting, you know, to create some excitement.
Because he came to him and he said, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He said, I swear by Allah, what I am telling you is the truth. Adam never thought that someone will make an oath by Allah lying.
Yes,
he never thought that there is someone will be so evil to that extent. It just never crossed his mind. Like من خدعنا بالله خدعنا يقول عمر.
Yeah.
Sometimes you will be deceived by someone who used the religion and used the deen. You feel like weak if you are very righteous.
آمنت بالله وكذبت عيني.
Yeah.
You know, if you consider the world he lived in. I don't even know if he ever heard a lie, aslan, let alone a lie in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And today, it's funny, like today when someone swears to you too much, you're like, I think he's lying. I met this guy, he said, this guy was telling me all his life's problems so I can help him out monetarily. He said, I started to feel he's a liar because he kept saying, and wallahi al-azim, I'm telling you the truth. And waqsum billah, I never accused you of not telling the truth, but now I think you are not telling the truth.
Yeah, it's true. People swear a lot, by a lot means they're lying.
Second question. Oh man, I forgot the second question. The first one was, So Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Taha, وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا لِآدَمَ صح؟ عَهِدْنَا لِآدَمَ إِلَى آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. So what did he forget? We took the covenant from Adam and he forgot and we didn't find any firm commitment. Resolve or commitment. So what did he forget? It's one tree. Don't eat from it. How can he forget? And so to the point that it was admirable that he forgot the one rule that some scholars made some. يعني, it's almost like an excuse. They said, no, he didn't forget to not eat from this tree. He ate from the same kind from somewhere else. يعني, if it were a grape tree, they said. He was told not to eat from this grape tree, but Allah meant from every grape tree. He didn't eat from this one, he ate from another one over there. Because they couldn't, it doesn't make sense. But they couldn't explain how he could he forget one rule. How can he forget? I don't know if you like this explanation or not, but it made a lot of sense to me. And if there's something else, I would love to know what's out there besides this. They said that Adam alayhi salam, what he forgot wasn't that he shouldn't eat from the tree. Because the tree, he was told if he eats from it, he'll have everlasting life, he'll live forever. He forgot that Allah told him his lifespan to be 1,000 years. And he knew that, and he even donated 60 years from his life to Dawood alayhi salam. So as a prophet, and well, someone knowledgeable, he would know that if your lifespan is decreed to 1,000 already, that there's eat a fruit and then live longer than what Allah planned for you. Does that make any sense?
I mean, this is one of the came in the hadith what you just said, that Nabi Sallallahu said that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala lit Adam to look at all his children, who's going to live after him, and he, from the prophets and messenger from his children. Then he said, who's this among them? He look, have a shiny face. The angel said, this is your son David, Dawood. He said, how long he will live? The angel said, Allah said to him that he will live 60. He said, how long I will live? He said, I will live, or 40. And I will, he said, how long you I will live? He said, 1,000. Then he gave or donated from his life to his son Dawood, so he will live 100 years. Then when the time came to die, and he was told to, because angels only take permission from prophets before they collect their souls, said, it's your time to die. Then he said, no, I was told 1,000 years I will live, and it's not 1,000 yet. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited the same verse. Oh. We have taken covenant from him. Then he forgot. He recited this verse. But that doesn't mean that this verse applied to this incident only. It could be also applied to the tree, that he forgot about the tree. Why? For a simple reason. One of the reasons, one of the answers would be the timeline that we think, yani, the angel made sujood for him on Tuesday, and the next Tuesday he entered Jannah, and you know, by the end of the month, the shaitan came. No, it could be 1,000 years. He could live, or 50 years, or 100 years, or whatever it is. We don't know how long it take, and you forgot. And that's the nature of human being. That's why Nabi Sallam, he forgot, and his children forgot. There is also another interpretation for this verse related to another completely incident, which is when Adam was sent down to earth, him and his wife, they used to have children. And every time they have a child, the child will die. So the shaitan came and told his mother, said to Eve, he said, if you want your son to live, name him Abdul Harith. Name him Abdul Harith. Harith is not from Allah's names. So they name him Abdul Harith, and he lived. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded him. How do you do that? Because he's the servant of Al-Harith. And that's not Allah's name. And he knows all the names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the name, and he taught him from his own names too. So here he repented, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse, وَلَقَعِدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمْ. We told Adam not to listen to the shaitan. A shaitan misled you once in the heavens, and now he came into earth to mislead you again. Yes, so he fall again for the shaitan. Jinn. So that's مِنْ قَبْلِ يعني فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَنَسِي وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمٍ. نَسِي مَا ضَرَّهُ بِهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. He forgot what the shaitan did to him in the past, and now he fall into the trap of the shaitan again. So there is multiple interpretation. This hadith in the Sunan, and it is also authenticated by, if you Muslim Ahmed, sorry, and it is authenticated by many of the scholars.
MashaAllah, that's why you don't mess with Sheikh Waleed. JazakAllah khair. I just remember something really nice about the fruit or the tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "La taqraba hadhihi shajara," which is really beautiful. So don't come near the tree. Because if it just said, don't eat from the tree, then I just come one day and I take that fruit and I kiss it and smell it, you know, just touch it, kida, almost. But it says don't even come near the tree, which is how you, which is your attitude towards all the things that are haram. Like you don't
well,
come
specifically
near.
What's the other thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says don't come
zina,
near?
Zina, right?
That's right.
لا تقربوا الزنا. Don't come near to zina. Not put all the things there and then just don't do that.
And there's a lot of interesting aspects with regards to that too, because even when Allah says la taqrabu zina, if there's one thing, I mean, even what was Shaitan's plan with Adam and Hawa is to reveal their nakedness, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not follow khutuwat al-shaytan. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Like Shaitan's plan, Allah says, do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. إِنَّمَا, he only commands you to evil and fahsha, indecency. I don't know how you translate fahsha, Sheikh, but indecency, right? But it has that connotation of that which leads to zina, and that you speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you do not know. So shaitan loves nakedness. Shaitan loves to bring about these fawahish. But to this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِن رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, shaitan makes, disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam disobeys Allah. Shaitan responds to the disobedience with more arrogance, more justification, more rejection, and Adam responds to that act of disobedience with repentance and seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. رَبَّنَا إِنَّا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They said, our Lord, we have oppressed ourselves, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we will be of the losers. So Allah says, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِن رَبِّهِ.
These are the kalimat
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to Adam. And so the fa here indicates immediacy. Allah says, so Adam learned from his Lord words, these words, this dua, fataba alayhi. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately accepted his repentance. Innahu at-tawabur rahim. This beautiful relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're so fortunate to have with Allah, is that of when we sin, Allah subhanahu, and we repent to Allah, Allah immediately forgives us. And, you know, I always remember this story. I had a guy once who came to the masjid. He wasn't Muslim. And he came and he sat across the desk from me, and he had questions. And he asked me one question, and then he asked me another question, and then he asked me another question. And he was asking questions that were all like polemics. They were all it felt like he had went to an Answering Islam website and he had copy-pasted everything and he came to read them to me. So he's asking about tattoos, and he's asking about apostasy, and he's asking about the age of Aisha. And I'm just answering one after the other. And he's not giving me any sort of, like, yes, I understand, or yes, that makes sense. He's giving me a complete poker face every single time. I'm not able to read this guy at all. And I'm just answering one after the other, one after the other. And then as soon as he's done with his list, I've answered everything to the best of my ability. He goes, I have one last question. Is it true that accepting Islam forgives all of your sins? And as soon as he said that, his face in front of me completely changed. Like, I no longer saw, like, this, you know, opposing interrogator. I saw a person who was completely weighed down by a lifetime of sins. And in that moment, I realized why, like, Amr ibn al-As pulled back his hand when he went to give bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, I'll accept Islam on one condition. What's your condition? That my sins are forgiven. Like, sins are a burden. Like, they're hard to carry over a lifetime. And then I realized why Islam's reward for accepting Islam is so perfect, that a person starts their life fresh. And I watched this video even today of why Latino Muslims are accepting Islam. And it was one girl, she was talking about how, you know, she had an abortion. And she was like, it was incredibly difficult. I had, like, I was suicidal. I felt so burdened by this, what I did to my baby. And so what kept me sane is Islam, that I accepted Islam, and that I'm able to feel, believe that I'm accepted by God and that I'm sinless.
So Adam's sin was forgiven.
Yes. Adam, alayhi salam, his sin was forgiven, and as Sheikh Ammar indicated, it was forgiven instantly. There wasn't a long journey and a wait period or pick a number and sit down. It was instantly forgiven. Which, when you look at the story in the Quran as opposed to in the Bible, for example, in the Bible, yani, where do I start? First of all, even the Bible itself has passages that go against that same story. There's a passage that says, no child shall bear the sin of the parent, nor a parent be responsible for the sin of the child. That's like really against your whole story that Jesus have to come and die later on because God couldn't forgive this sin that came a long time before. That's one thing.
We're born a sinner.
That we were born a sinner. And we used to even like in street da'wah would tell someone, like, if I broke this window right now, would you pay for it? Like, no, I didn't. I wouldn't pay for it. I didn't do it. Like, why are you going to be born with a sin that when it happened, not only did you not do it, you didn't even exist. It's different. I was in the same room when he broke the glass. I wasn't even born yet. And yet, I have a share of that sin. And I got to tell you something. We used to have this little da'wah trap, you know. I tried this with a missionary one time. I said, okay. I said, you know, in Islam, you have to start off with the Islamic version. In Islam, we believe that Allah is forgiving. And so long as you sincerely repent, then everything you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive and pardon it. Do you guys believe the same thing? Is your God forgiving? Of course, now he has to say.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Said, when Adam alayhi salam sinned and he ate from the tree, and he felt bad and he cried and he repented, did God accept his repentance? And the guy looked at me and he said, yes, he did. I said, then why someone had to come die for that? Meaning, why did Jesus have to come die for the sin if he was already forgiven? And he was just like this. So I was like, great, this is my new best friend. I start using it all the time. I'd used it on this one guy. He was a little more savvy. I said, when Adam repented, even if it backfires, you still win. I said, when Adam repented, did God forgive him? He just looked at me straight and he said, I don't know that he ever did repent. I was like, wait a minute. Are you telling me this righteous man, this prophet, that Allah put him in Jannah and he could eat and do what have you, and he had one rule and he ate from it, and when Allah reprimanded him, he was like, yeah, he just finished it. Hatta wala. Never repented? Would you repent? He's like, yes, I would. And you're telling me Adam's better than us and he wouldn't repent? And then, again, he was stone-faced. So it works both ways. Because the concept doesn't make sense, Aslan.
Okay, we have 5 minutes left so we can pray. We want to wrap it, like, point, okay, until the 5 minutes left. So things like, you know, people think about it. Okay, for me, start, even though Adam have seen heaven, have seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk to Allah, yet he committed a sin. So you know what? Be merciful to yourself and other people who committed sin, because we haven't seen what Adam did, but he's still weak enough to commit sin. The point is to repent to Allah.
Man, I'm trying to think of a rapid point.
It's like me too.
It's kind of hard. But one of my favorite points from Adam alayhi salam that I learned is that when is it allowed for a person to use destiny as an excuse for your past? For your past. Adam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in Bukhari and Muslim that Adam and Musa actually had a discussion. And Musa said to Adam, you were in paradise and you ate from the tree and you brought us all here. And so Adam alayhi salam said, do you hold me accountable for something that was written 40 years before I was created? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so Adam defeated Musa. And so a person can't use destiny, qadr, as an excuse to continue to sin. But a person can use destiny as a consolation for their past. That this was something that was written for you. You don't use it as a justification for now, but you use it as consolation for your past.
After they repent.
After they repented, of course. Yes. I've got a little man over here. Yes. Yes, what's your question? Great. So he said, if there are good jinn and bad jinn. Great question. There are good jinn and bad jinn. If the bad jinn whisper, why don't the good jinn whisper just the same?
There's a faith right there.
Because they don't whisper. Good jinn, they don't whisper. Good jinn, they're good. That's why they're staying by themselves.
But
the angels are the one who whisper to you and tell you to do something good. Right. But it's you make the choice to listen to which one of them.
Good, rapid point. Okay, rapid point. I'm just going to give you a narration that is not authentic. That when, just people repeat this. We don't know where Adam alayhi salam came down on earth. I said this at a class one time, and an uncle came to me. He's like, everybody knows he came down in Bangladesh. I'm like, he was so shocked, yani. So we do not know where he came down. And just the fun one is some scholars said that when he came down in India and some of the leaves of Jannah came with him. And I'm not making this up. They said, and that's why the best spices come from India.
Allahu Akbar. I thought you were going to say the mangoes.
Also, it's not true that they met in Jeddah.
In Arafat.
Or Arafat. There's no any proof for that. Okay. Allah said to the angels, I know what you don't know about Adam. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expecting from you, expecting from Adam and his generation so much. You are a very powerful creation. So remember this. Every time you think of yourself less or you think of yourself not much, remember what Allah says about you. I know of him and his children, obviously, what you don't know. Make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of you.
Oh, mashallah, you're really good at these one-liners. How about this? Adam, Shaitan expelled your father and your mother from paradise, so don't let him expel you from paradise too.
Very good.
Man, I just had one. I lost it. Yeah.
Go ahead, Sheikh. I just had one.
That the words of repentance of Adam was, I ask you by Muhammad or by Jah Muhammad. This is a fabricated story. And Allah said, where did you find this? He said, I thought written in your throne, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So I ask you by Muhammad. This is a fabricated story. So it's not true.
Adam alayhi salam was created by the two hands of God.
Very good, which is an honor for you. Every other creation created by the words of Allah, except Adam, is the only human being that Allah created him with his hand. Yani he fashioned him with his hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his two hands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hands, not like our hands. His hands belong to him. Like, we don't know how he is. We don't know how his attributes looks like. Yes.
If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bans someone from al-Jannah, there's no way they're going to sneak back in past the guards and the cameras. There's no way. So they said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kicked Iblis out, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ Go out of it, and you are accursed, and you have my curse until the day of judgment. So quickly they said, how did he sneak back into Al-Jannah? And some scholars, just one answer here, they said, he not necessarily was kicked out of Al-Jannah, but أخرج منها can mean the high rank that Allah put him amongst the angels, and he kicked him out of the high rank, and then he came back into Al-Jannah because he never was kicked out of it to whisper to Adam. Or they said he could have whispered without coming physically into Al-Jannah. Wallahu a'lam.
Adam was giving an order. Iblis was giving an order, and Adam was forbidden from something. Adam broke the rules by doing something prohibited, which is don't eat. While Iblis break the rules by not fulfilling an order, make sujood. Adam's sin was lesser. And from this, the ulama said, it is much lesser to do a forbidden thing than to leave obligations. That's why leaving salah is way more higher than drinking alcohol as a sin. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, being bad to your parents is worse than adultery. Beating your mom, and it depends on the level of the uquq to walidain. It's worse because it's one of the major kabat, major orders. A lot of people think that it is, it's haram, we don't allow to do that, I stay so far away. But obligation, they are relaxed with it. It's supposed to be one line thing. Let's go ahead.
Also because good deeds get multiplied and bad sins count as one. So it harms shaitan more for you to stay away from doing a good deed or an obligation than to perform a good deed. Really quickly, hasad was the first sin committed in the heavens, and it was the first sin committed on earth. Envy.
Yeah, envy.
So Qabil, or the first son of Adam, had envy of his brother. That led him to killing him, and envy caused Iblis to refuse the commandment.
Oh, so it wasn't racism. No. I hate when people say that. Iblis was the first racist. Get out of here with that.
You know what? Iblis was a great act of worshiper. But the sin of the heart of this led him to be the worst creation ever. Watch the sins of the heart. Watch your feelings. Watch your emotions. Watch logic. I'm better than him. I'm from fire, he's from mud. That logic that he used, أول من قاس إبليس قياس فاسد. That's, he made this logic. When you make the logics, when you make the feelings, which is the envy, the jealous, the reason for you to disobey Allah. Watch that. Most of our sins comes from these two. There's a lot to be said.
Yes, yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I can only respond to the first one. The first one, yes, you can take a lesson from that. And what she was saying was that that the angels asked Allah to get more information, and they were not objecting or anything, but they asked to get more information. And some people today, perhaps parents or the husband in particular, if the kids ask too many questions, don't ask questions, just do what I say. But why can't they get more information? Or the husband, you know, his wife questions something, and he's like, khalas, he becomes the lion and the mash'arif. But yeah, well, she can ask, who do you think you are? She can ask you questions, you know. For the second one.
SubhanAllah, it's scary. One sin kicked them out of Jannah. One sin kicked them out of Jannah. And with you, all your sins, you want to enter Jannah. Just something to reflect upon. Adam, his sin, he repented. Allah accepted his repentance. Yet until the day of judgment, he's scared of his sin. This is not to take hope away, but it's not healthy for us to be numb, to feel that, you know what, khalas, as if I'm arrogant, I'm guaranteeing Jannah. No, inshallah, you will enter Jannah, but just make sure that this is a little bit of fear. We're living in a time where disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so easy. Let's pray. Yes, Layla, before we go. Very good. We need to learn that we accept Allah's command. Then the explanation comes later. But first, amen. Very good. By the way, yes, we extend that. I accept Allah's qadr in everything. In the skin color, in the way I look, but also in whatever Allah decreed upon me. But obviously, this should not be justification to continue doing wrong or making wrong decisions in life. This has to lead to learn and grow. And by the way, Adam, after he repented to Allah, he became what? Prophet. First prophet. After he repented to Allah, when he sent to earth, he became a prophet. That's why I'm so proud to say my great-great-grandfather is a prophet. I feel so proud. Versus when I feel my great-grandfather was an ape. You know? It's just very different, like, feelings. You know? Isn't it?
Thank you. So I know I skipped a turn though. So I got a fun fact.
Is it a fact though?
No, I guess a fact here in the sense that it's just a general piece of information. You know how fun facts are not facts. يعني لازم تدقق يعني. المهم. There is some merit to the idea of, or the story of the serpent. Some scholars, and just for what it's worth, the serpent, the snake. And some scholars said that he came into the snake, Iblis, and that's how he was able to creep into Al-Jannah to speak to them. And in that way also, it's a different form speaking to Adam. He didn't recognize him as that first Iblis. For what it's worth, the Muslim scholars said, we can't confirm the story, but there's also some يعني, possibility of it. And they cite a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentions the relationship between human beings and serpents and snakes. And he says that we have not made peace with them منذ أن حاربناهن. We have not made peace with them since we went to war with them. So they argued, they said, when did we ever go to war with snakes? When is the one event where it's humans versus snakes that you can think of? And they said perhaps the hadith is alluding to the incident of the apple. Oh no, astaghfirullah, the tree. Just as an interesting point there, but at face value also.
You know, there is also some scholars said that actually Iblis was an angel. I know this is very famous among the people of the book, and you refute that, but that's an opinion that exists among early scholars. Not very popular, but it is an opinion. It has, there is an answer for this. They have an answer for this. But just this shows you that the more you learn, the more you come down and like don't think you know everything yet. But the bottom line, I do believe that this opinion is weak. But it is an opinion because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَسَقْ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was among the jinn. That's very clearly. Ahlul Kitab, especially Christians,
they don't have a third category called jinn. They have angels and humans. They don't know what's jinn. That's why even in English, jinni, that's right. They don't have a word for it. They took it from us. So, but for us, no, we know that the three different type of creations. That's why it's easy for us to understand those why. Thank you very much. Yes? Yes. So we're not all the son of killer.
Zakum khair.